Let's just keep the track. It's alright, we can edit this.
That's alright. As long as we're consistent.
Thunderstruck.
Oh, you didn't let it keep playing.
Let's just play the whole Razor's Edge album.
That will be the longest podcast we've ever recorded based on the fact that it's 3.5 minutes of AC/DC.
Look, the Razor's Edge was quite an album.
Was it?
It had such hits as Thunderstruck and Are You Ready? Are You Ready for a Good Time? I believe Mistress for Christmas. And Money Talks, but the thing is, what it really was, the Razor's Edge, was it was a return to form from the rock gods of the late 70s and early 80s, who put together hits after hit after hit album. Back in Black, the biggest selling rock album of all time in 1980. Followed up by For Those About to Rock in 81 or 82 or whatever. And then they went to shit. In the mid-80s, they went to absolute shit. Flick of the switch. Fly on a wall. They did some soundtrack to a movie. It was Maximum Overdrive or something. It was terrible. And then everyone thought they were done.
Yeah.
Everyone thought they were absolutely cooked. And then what they did is they went out and they got some sort of like... you know, new producer.
Oh, really?
Might have even been Rick Rubin. I'm not sure. You're on the Wikipedia article right now. But they got some form of just absolute cock rock extraordinaire producer who just stripped them back to basics and said, look, guys, let's just write some hits and let's just put it out. And they put out this album, The Razor's Edge, with the lead single of Thunderstruck. And it was extraordinary.
It was fantastic.
It was a career renaissance, and look, it was a return to form, much like the Crows returning to form with a little bit of run off the half back flank. against Gold Coast.
I was waiting for you.
It was good on Sunday twilight. But the thing is, the thing that you need to bear in mind, Jamo, when before getting too excited about a return to form, and the reason we played that, let the song play so long, yeah, well into the second minute, is because that second chorus says, "I was shaken at the knees. Could I come again, please?" Did we peak too early? Did the Crows... Can we just calm down? It was a 70-point win against Gold Coast, but is it the equivalent of that guy in American Pie? Blimey, with the exchange. Is it? Dave from Green.
Your thoughts. Discuss.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think you're right. You've hit the nail on the head there, Slugger. I haven't watched American Pie for many years, but my memory of it is that, yeah, I think we need to be a little bit careful getting too far ahead of ourselves.
Mm.
And not
like just like said, the pie fucker did.
pretty much.
Who is that actress, Jamo? You probably know her. The one that was the Russian...
Oh, sorry.
Elizabeth something.
Yeah.
Wasn't it someone?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
She had a good career.
She did.
Oh, didn't she?
let me give two amazing facts about Thunderstruck, and then I'll Wikipedia her next. So, in 2010, Thunderstruck topped Triple M's Ultimate 500 Rock Countdown in Melbourne.
Yeah, Ultimate 500.
500. That's fine. Like, that's top. That's fine, but
500 top rock tracks.
The top five were all AC/DC songs.
That's fantastic.
And a great one. The song was part of the payload of a computer worm which attacks the Iranian nuclear program.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, when I'm picking a song to include in the payload of a computer worm in cyber warfare.
Yep.
That's what I'll do. Straight up, I wouldn't even think twice. Just give me the Razor's Edge album. Follow up with Mistress.
Why do you reckon they picked it?
I don't know.
Is it for the long intro?
I don't know.
Is it for the coming at the knees?
Yeah,
maybe. Oh, maybe.
Shaking or is it just the title? Thunderstruck.
Yeah,
Thunderstruck. I don't know. Just so we complete the circle, it's Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh, Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh, God, you're close.
Yeah, well done.
She played Nadia in American Pie.
Yeah.
And her other big hits were in Scary Movie 1.
She had two big hits from memory.
Hits, thanks for that, sorry. We've got a real theme tonight, don't we? And Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Was she really?
Yeah,
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, and she may have been in later American Pie.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, all the same ones.
Porky's, where you just repeat
Porky's. until they got the band back together for one of the, like, about the eighth. The eighth American Pie, they actually got the Pie Fucker back. They got the Pie Fucker's dad. They got, like, Stifler. You know, they got them all back together. He fucked a pie.
He fucked pie again. Two stars.
Yeah, two stars.
Remember the time I fucked that pie?
Yeah. So look, it was a great game because that. Let's actually just pause for a moment there. It wasn't a 100% great game because the first quarter was the most turgid, steaming pile of shit I've ever seen. It was until deep in the first quarter, until deep in time on, it was 2 points all. It was a game, you know, sometimes people would kindly say that's a game for the purists. But I tell you what, purists wouldn't like this. No. It was filth. It was disgusting. It was everything that's wrong with football today. Gil. And then we got a goal right at the end of the first quarter just to sort of, you know, give us a little bit of breathing room, you know, just a little bit of reward for the effort. Then the second quarter rolled around and still it was much the same. It was just not going anywhere. It was a game that you just feared that this would be a banana skin and we would be completely rogered by Gold Coast. And then Brody Smith.
Oh.
He got the ball about 80 out. And he just played on. He took one or two bounces and he got to within more 55, 60 metres out on a very slight angle. And you know what he did, Jabo? You know what he did? He bombed an absolute fatty. Bombed. And the crowd erupted.
Yep.
And then from then on, it was a procession.
Yeah.
What was the official fatty bombing count? Because there was that one. There was Tex bombed a fatty.
Yeah, Tex bombed a fatty.
Tex bombed a fatty.
Yeah. There was a couple of fatties
bombed. Yeah, Smith bombed a couple of fatties.
Smith bombed two fatties. Who else bombed one?
Smith has got his license to bomb. just before we go too deep in the fatties.
Yeah, we need the scores.
Gemma, what was the score?
Oh, it was 18 goals, 11, 119. A serendipitous score. Serendipitous.
Yes.
Yeah. And 6 goals, 10 to 46, a 73.73. Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Presumably the Perth media were fairly excited by this, Dave and Tyra.
I haven't heard anyone from the Perth media, but I did hear Plough on SEN today, and I don't know if anyone here is unfortunate enough to listen to Plough on SEN of a afternoon on a Monday or a Tuesday as it is today, but he gives a golf score to everybody. And keeps his golf score ladder. So he runs through each game and he'll give you a bogey or he'll give you an eagle or a par if you've beaten someone who's really shit. So the Crows got a birdie.
Ooh,
for beating Gold Coast, and basically he wasn't very impressed because we did what we should have. The West Coast media. Sorry, the WA media. Haven't heard anything, Dave?
Nothing. That donuts.
But they probably agreed with the birdie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought so.
Don't want to disagree with Plough.
No. What's Plough's real name?
Terry Wallace.
Terry Wallace.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Terry?
Yeah.
Why they call him Plough?
Yeah. Fuck, why was he... Didn't someone tell us why he's called Plough from last year or something?
I don't know.
No,
to me, it sounds like quite. It sounds like a sexual nickname for some reason.
God, do you have a theme tonight?
Yeah.
Coming at the knees. That's not the term, is it?
Shake it at the knees.
Shake at the knees. Coming at me, please, or something.
Oh God.
Jamo, geez, compose yourself.
Yeah, sorry. I loved Brody Smith. Just kicking goals.
Do you know what I also loved? I also loved how. The Crows were... No, look, Brody Smith certainly kicked us off. But if there was one player in the Adelaide Crows lineup who decided that the season was on the line and they needed to lift and they needed to drag the Crows, the whole football club, kicking and screaming into mid-table with elite leg and elite speed...
tackle.
It was D-Mac. And he D-Mac. D-Mac. Champion data ranked D-Mac the number one player on the field.
Yeah,
and rightly so. Who's D-Mac's biggest hater again? Is it J-Mac or...
Look, there's a few.
Bozza?
There's a few. Bozza. Bozza doesn't rate.
Let's not name them all.
Bozza, the last tweet Bozza said was, "Get the fuck out of my club." I say, Bozza... Get the fuck off my Twitter feed.
It doesn't
mean... Can I say that?
It doesn't mean it at all.
I don't know. Has he said anything about D-Mac tonight?
I haven't been following the general
surprisingly, Bozza was quiet.
The general feedback around D-Mac is often, when he has games like this, why don't you do this every week instead of going missing for 5 weeks and then having one mediocre game and then you have, you kick a couple of snaps... Where you run through the middle with some speed and some elite legs.
Come back with a flight of the ball.
Mm.
Strong mark.
Look, he did very well. Talking
about that, Lockie Murphy coming back with a flight twice.
Lockie Murphy was fantastic.
A little bit of Riewoldt.
Yeah.
Riewoldt around that.
Can I just ask, because there was when watching that on TV, delayed, Channel 7, it seemed to focus a lot of on him being on the ground hurt, and then out of nowhere... Eddie scored a goal, and Channel 7 doesn't actually do a replay of that. Like, was it Eddie that scored that goal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie wanted it.
He really wanted it.
Because he wanted that. He wanted his brother-in-law to get a tattoo on his ass of him.
So, and that was the bet, that he got the 5 goals and his brother-in-law would get a tattoo of Eddie's face.
So, an update on that. We're not, because if you, I've got Foxtel, right? And so I was watching the Monday game. But when Foxtel gives a Channel 7 feed, it's always the Adelaide coverage. So you get all the Adelaide Channel 7 ads, which is nice. Reminds me of home. But then John Riddell's moon face. Yeah, John Riddell, that's his name. Yeah. The moon face rocks up.
Moon face?
Yeah, well, he's got a big round, bald face.
Moon face,
Bert Newton.
Bert
is. No, there could be two.
I thought they were like Highlander. They could only be one.
No, well, he's put on a bit of weight in his age. So anyway,
he's like the half moon.
He did this. So like part of the news update, and the third update, you know, because it's one that's just these little adverts, said without irony, and the update on the Eddie Betts tattoo, and there's a picture of a guy with his pants down getting a tattoo on his ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, so that's making news. Not only is it going into Adelaide, it's going out nationwide on the Foxtel feed. As you know,
that made the news here.
The happening news.
The tattoo.
God, it wouldn't.
It's feel good news.
To be fair, if you have just played your 300th game and you kick 6 goals,
didn't mention the games. Didn't mention the goals.
Absolute pearler, left foot. Check side, 35 out of the boundary.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And your brother-in-law was stupid enough to make a bet like that. then absolutely. Make him get the tattoo.
But did you see the video of it? There's four media standing out the front of the tattoo parlour waiting for old mate to come and have a chat.
Yeah. I hope he bleached struggling his anus.
He should have done it on
just rocked up.
He should have done it on his cop.
His bottom.
Because, here we go.
You want to sort of make sure that you present yourself well when the media, treat yourself. it's like when ladies get a fake tan when they're going to a wedding or something like that.
Okay.
If you've got a camera crew focusing on your rear end, then the done thing is to bleach your anus.
Can you do that yourself, or do you have to go somewhere?
No,
you've
got to go to a place.
Got to go somewhere. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Eddie was great, though.
Yeah,
fantastic.
What? Okay. There's so many questions.
Anyway.
And anything else from your end, guys, from the game? I mean, the forward line looks a different beast.
Oh, Himmelberg was there. He was competing.
Hugh Greenwood full forward?
Yeah, didn't mind that. He took it.
Did Himmelberg have that haircut, the same haircut last year when he played?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
He just looked a bit sick with that hair.
He looked.
Because I was expecting him to look a bit like his brother.
He's very gangly.
Yeah. He was all right, but like that's not a long-term solution, right? Like a little bit of serious chat.
I think so. I think he is.
What, you reckon?
Yeah, yeah.
How tall is he?
198.
No, he's not.
No, he is.
JMO, get it up, and then take 2 centimetres off, because they always inflate it.
And let me talk about the first quarter while you're doing that.
Okay. Dave's going to... Hold on. Dave's going to say something. Landmark event. Off you go, Dave.
I wanted to talk about the first quarter.
Dave wants some serious chat. Let's go.
The slugger didn't lie much. No, obviously it was not very high scoring, but I liked the fact that we were dominating possession, and it kind of like allowed us to remember how to play footy. It was a bit of a training drill. We were lining up across halfback, chipping passes, and it reminded us how to play footy. I think that late goal at the end just kind of kicked us into gear, which enabled a bit of a run on in that early part of that second quarter. So I think the first quarter was good, as much as it wasn't for the footy purists, as you just mentioned. It was good for the Crows, and might be the catalyst.
It was pretty intense. Things to come.
It was.
Yeah. There was
disposal efficiency was pretty average.
It was in the 40s and 30s for both of them. But it was, look, if we didn't kick that goal, that was just going to be a very depressing 30 minutes of footy. Mm. You're hard-pressed to remember another quarter where we were involved, where nobody scored, at least the first quarter.
Yeah. But then that second quarter, obviously everyone kicked into gear, and I thought Greenwood and Ellis Yeoman, two of the kind of less lights in the midfield, were very good. Ellis won a Yeoman lot of the 40.
Yeah. Ellis Yeoman was fantastic.
It might have been his best game he's played for us, to be honest.
Yeah. One of them.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
I like the fact that Tex was contesting in pack situations and being bringing very aggressive. Ball down
Well, we moved the ball quick enough. Like, it wasn't... Did anyone watch the Roosters in the final series last year in SA NFL?
Nice.
Now, I know we're dragging it back, but like there was a couple of games they played South early on and they were killing them, and then they went to this little chip game that the Crows have been playing, and South came all the way back, and then they decided, fuck it, we're just going to kick it forward, and they murdered them again. And then they did it again 2 weeks later, and it just highlighted and reminded me the fact that actually you can change your like ability to score just by actually raising your eyes and just booting it forward with a bit of getting some territory and like giving your forwards a chance to just compete, and that's seemingly what happened in the second quarter when we just kind of went, oh fuck it, let's run, kick long, don't worry about these little kicking out of defense systematically that they were talking about on the radio. And yeah, if you just take the game on, we've got good players one-on-one that can
absolutely win. That's been the kind of hallmark of our game for the last few years, is the contested possession. But we gave ourselves a chance of actually, you know, winning some ball and hitting some targets. So I thought it was a very good game, as much as we were expected to win. It was kind of, we needed a win like that to kind of show, I suppose, ourselves too, that we were able to play at that level.
So what
we've been shit,
Dave,
for the first 4 years.
What changed in terms of how we played this week?
Well, they kind of say, again, it's hard. It's easy when you're winning a game to find reasons that you won. I thought we just played simple footy. We didn't seem to be playing, like Sam said, stupid zones out of defence. We were kicking long down the line a bit more. We were kicking it forward. We weren't looking for silly handballs. We weren't certainly weren't over possessing the footy. And we were kicking into space. Ball. You know, blokes were leading into space. We were running well. D-Mac providing some run off the halfback flank. Brody Smith providing pretty good run. Laird was reasonably quiet, but some of the other defenders kind of picked up the slack. Alex Keith obviously getting much better. We had a forward in Himmelberg who's actually competed.
Keith's fantastic. Amazing this year. I think it was Vardy Magic said on Twitter that he's probably leading the BNF. He probably is.
Oh wow! Well, I'm not sure about that, but he wouldn't be too far off. Yeah. I think not having Jenkins is as much as easy to sink the boot in when he's not playing. I think that was pretty critical because his body language is horrendous when he's not getting the footy, and he does, you know, he doesn't compete. And at least I thought Himmelberg was good at that. He threw himself around. He fumbled the ball a couple of times. He fell over, kind of lost where he was a few times. But at least he threw himself around. I thought he was good in the ruck. Riley O'Brien got better in the ruck.
Riley O'Brien hit Himmelberg as a target, which was amazing. And if Himmelberg didn't get it, someone was sitting there below.
Yeah. But we're also playing a pretty average side, so there's two. You know, two.
I think taking Jenkins out and looked at and Dave and I'll stop being serious in a minute. But taking Jenkins out of the team, it actually it creates a little bit more uncertainty in the opposition about where are they going to kick it to. And you'll see it in other sports. You'll see it when the Crows only had Tippett. When Tex Walker went down, they just kept kicking to Tippett. And I remember a game when Shannon Hearn just sat in front of him the whole time and chipped it off because they just knew that's where the ball was going. And you see it in soccer. Harry Kane goes down and all these other Tottenham players pop up kicking goals. Like it creates uncertainty in the opposition, and then it creates other people to have to stand up and offer a target, and that's what you saw on the weekend.
And we didn't put our defence under pressure by not hitting targets. As much as that first quarter was horrendous, we certainly improved our disposal efficiency. And
And Eddie Betts kicked 6 goals when he hasn't been kicking any goals because the forward line's completely different. Lynch wasn't busy, but
so that's why we won, Slugger.
Yeah,
that's why I like it. That's
off you go. Talk about Dixon and curry vests for a minute.
I'd be interested. I'm keen to see what it's like this coming week because I can't quite get over the fact that it may just be Gold Coast not defending how other teams that we've played this year have defended. Because yeah. it can't be as simple as, well, if we run and enter it quickly, we score all the goals. I mean, Tex had it on a bloody string.
Well, it can be. Yeah. If you win the ball, if you win contested ball all over the ground and move the ball really quickly into our forward line, you can play like that the whole year.
Particularly like the North Melbourne game, you know, the game we lost a couple of years ago where they scored 6 or 7 goals to nothing in that first quarter. It was similar to the way they pressured us last week where they just didn't allow us space. But we were still trying to fart around with the footy and get sneaky handballs in and move it forward with precision. If it's not working, just bomb it forward. Mm. I reckon there's a bit in that.
Well, I think, yeah, again, like St Kilda, they're pretty high on the ladder. But I wouldn't,
second on the ladder.
I wouldn't say that they necessarily deserve a second place or world beaters right now. So I would just like to see that the Crows do exactly the same thing this coming week.
Pump them.
Fairly squarely. But play the same way we have last week.
Mm.
We've won the last few against them too, so we've certainly got the wood on them.
Sam, you're obviously a keen listener to SEN, and I'm not sure if it's SENSA or just SEN.
Oh, I dabble.
You dabble? just dabble. Josh Jenkins was interviewed this morning.
Didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it. So, I mean, the week before last, he talked about there's a lot of guys the team that are probably facing getting the cut. And you know, that's just a nature of how poorly we've been played. Since that last interview, he obviously got dropped.
Well, he was praised for last week's interview because he was saying that even I could, like, you know, I'm sure I might get picked.
Just
this week.
Everyday man.
Yeah,
and then
praised.
This week, just listening to it this morning, I was just spellbound by how it was an arrogant sort of dismissal of. I gave Pikey an easy out because I said any one of us could have been left out. And for some reason, that seemed to include me. And, you know, I tried to put my, you know, he said I put my thoughts forward or something quite strongly about what I felt I could offer the team, but, you know, it wasn't to be. And ultimately, that's a decision for the match committee.
I did hear that bit. He said he was shocked. He was kind of shocked that he got dropped, right? I heard that snippet.
Yeah. What a turd.
Yeah. He was saying in the media, I'm not sure I'll be just because he was, you know, like, do you think he was just mouthing platitudes?
Oh, I have no doubt last week he was just mouthing platitudes. And then he's just shocked and disturbed that someone that's a leading goal kicker last year and somehow in the leadership group, which I don't quite know how he got there this year, could dare be dropped, even though we saw Bryce Gibbs dropped a couple of weeks earlier.
That's right.
I thought it was disgusting. I was really, really annoyed by that. And the fact that he had such an average game in the SNFL and thinks that, you know, he's done enough.
Just got to phone it in.
Just phone it in. It was pretty windy.
Just got to rock up.
Gets him down, man.
Yeah,
whips in off the mid-coast.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the entry wasn't as good because it's SNFL. So my 2 points and maybe a couple of marks and a couple of kicks and a couple of hit-outs, that would have been enough.
And not doing anything to prevent the side going from about a 40-point lead to a draw. Maybe dropping behind the ball. Just taking a few defensive marks like a big man should do.
Yep.
Kick behind play.
Is that your...
We didn't do the pre-pod tweet.
God, he shot one off early today.
That was my rant.
It's a theme.
Did he say what? Did he go into what he thought he
had to bring
to the side?
That was exactly my
dopey voice. Well,
what are you bringing to side? What is it? Just like a
honest opinion on the radio. That's so why he got in the leadership group.
At the Adelaide Football Club from Kane Corns' shots.
Yeah, and my NFL podcast with that American bloke.
Yeah, so
who's the American bloke who does the NFL podcast with?
I think he runs the James Squire, doesn't he? He always talks about his partner.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
So
JJ, I'd quite like if JJ was down for a couple more weeks.
I
think it's going to happen.
If a dog does shit on a carpet, you need to rub his nose in.
what how does that play out in the analogy that you've painted out? What does Don do?
No, well, the thing is, he hasn't rubbed his
nose. Does he just drop him again? Is that all?
Him. Jenkins's snout has not yet been rubbed in the turd that is on the carpet that he has metaphorically laid with his terrible play this year.
Yeah.
And all he's done at the moment is he knows he's in trouble and he thinks that his nose is going to be rubbed in the turd. Yeah. It hasn't yet been. He thinks that it has by being forced to play for the twos against South, and he thinks that's it.
That's it. But it's I've done my time.
But it's not, because the difference is when Bryce Gibbs went down to the twos, Bryce Gibbs then carved it up. Got 30 possessions, a ton of tackles. He made his case unarguable.
And took it on the chin.
And had a good press conference.
And he came back, and you know what? He ended up carrying Eddie Betts off in his 300th game with Cam Ellis Yeoman, and it was fantastic. And it was great to see. And that's because he cared, and he wanted to come back, and he wanted to play this game with Eddie Betts. He wanted to do it given his Carlton connection, and he went back in the twos and he carved it up because he got the message. Jenkins did not get the message.
Yeah.
His snout needs to be rubbed in the turd.
So I keep him till the showdown at Alberton.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the turd ground.
Have we done the match? I mean, Malira's done his AC, which was one of the tenuous links to choosing Thunderstruck.
ACDC.
So that's obviously very disappointing.
It is.
What's he out for? 4 to 8 weeks.
Four to eight.
That's a long AC joint. AC joint's only 4 weeks, isn't it? Or six.
Well, I'm no medico. But
if it's six, then, you know, that's 4 to 8. Right there.
It's right. There is. I think they...
I love how the commentary, like Wayne Carey or David King, they'll tell you what it is the second it's gone down. Yeah. Like Seedsman's, he's done his ACL. That's ACL.
Definitely.
1 year.
Actually, they're going to have to amputate that leg.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. And just have sort of a prosthetic, robotic leg.
No, he'll be the Blade Runner. and then he's going to shoot his girlfriend for taking a shit.
Stop.
Allegedly.
Who won't care?
That he shot his girlfriend for taking a shit. That's what happened. And then it was just a matter of how much prison time he got for shooting his girlfriend for taking a shit.
I'm trying to load up the Crows injury report. We haven't spent much time in the injury report.
Let's go. Has it got a jingle?
Does it have a jingle?
No, you don't have a jingle?
No, I don't. So, yeah, obviously Goebbels or the usual sort of media crew.
Jacobs is a TBC.
That's last week.
Oh, Jacobs has now gone under the
That's going to be six weeks, four to six.
Chase Jones will be back.
Yeah.
He
won't come.
Chase Jones is back from these concussion symptoms are over. So he may actually be the in and out for Malira.
Could just be one change.
And Ned McHenry will likely play for the SANFL as well. And Shane Mc...
He had a car crash.
He had a concussion and then he had a car crash. Yeah. So he's had car crash plus concussion.
Yeah. Rough.
That's a bit silly.
But Shane McAdam might play SANFL this week, which would be great. The one thing that jumped out at me, so when they've got the injury list, so McAdam test, Malira to be confirmed, McPherson 1-2, Brown 1-2, that'll be good. Mm. Luke Brown back. Seedsman 2-5.
2-5.
How can you have the differential longer than the shortest period you're back?
Yeah.
Saying 2-5,
that's quite an observation.
Well, it's probably
you pick the account
now.
4-5,
isn't it?
Do you think that if someone was even if a Chinese Chinese foreign raiders were trying to buy some form of cattle station and they put in an offer that was like $100,000 to $1.1 million.
Yes.
You'd laugh at that.
Yeah, I'd just say that.
You'd say your range is too big.
You go 85.
Your range is too big.
You can leave your paper bag full of money. come back when you've got a serious...
You know about foreign raiders, JMO.
Serious bit. I don't know. I'm sort of...
It's concerning, and then you realise that the butcher's in charge.
Tyra and I were trying to do as many sluggers as possible.
You could say bomber fatty.
I haven't tried to.
You missed out on bomber fatty. You did talk about the butcher. Badass. He's dirty Galana Royal.
So is the butcher is Matt
Hass. Yeah, I got that.
And Birdman is...
Turdman.
Turdman. Yeah.
Duh. We've got to write this down.
There's got to be a playbook. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Any other changes? Do you think, guys?
Is that all the injuries though, JMO?
I think from that game is really Malik.
No, like is that the current list? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And obviously Douglas Ford. Dick Tom Doug. Godet,
Starting to add up. So Dick Doug is 4 weeks, just a straight four.
Oh, he's come in from six last week.
Yes,
that's true. Quite confident.
He's got 2 weeks better in 1 week.
Yeah, and then Jacobs.
on that trend, he'll be back in 2 weeks.
Did you know that sales of disco records between 1978 and 1979 increased by 400%? This trend's continuing.
Oh, it's great. Jacobs, 4 to 6 weeks. Knee, Dodé, season.
Dodé, 1 to 53 weeks.
who knows?
No, but to be fair, season could be, 20 to 52 weeks, couldn't it?
Yeah, right. But I think...
that span is longer than the lower limit. That is longer. Yeah.
So...
Well done.
As I say, I don't think they're going to try and throw in a defender like Malira. I reckon they'll put Gibbs back.
Or Ratkins or something like that.
Yep. And bring in Chase Jones.
Ben
Hart said they're going to bring a forward in.
Do you reckon they'll bring in the Fog?
They're going to bring in Stengel or Gallucci, I think.
Gooch was the... emergency.
Is there any chance that Jenkins...
Well, Marvel Stadium, possibly, under the roof.
Yeah, there's a chance, but...
It stretched their defence, but... Nah, surely not.
But, you know,
if we can win CB, Dave, don't you love that? Since CB's come in as an acronym. Do you know what CB is, Jamie?
Centre Bounces.
Centre Bounce, yeah. We'll talk about that. If you can win CB... And have two tall targets up forward against a shorter St Kilda team.
This has been the reason why the Crows have sucked so much all year, is because we've had too many tall, cumbersome, sloth-like forwards who don't crash packs and don't take marks and just stand around preening, waiting for...
Oh, bring the Fog in.
The fog's due.
Yeah, the fog is due.
Yeah. And we'll get onto that in a minute when we read out the letters.
Yeah. So what's up, the lettuce or the jerks?
Oh, well, there's no jerks, so we've got to do lettuce.
Oh, Jamie, bloody hell.
We didn't tweet out. Someone forgot.
Too busy gorging on chocolate.
Sluggers.
Fucking tweeters, nesters, sort your shit out, get some jerks.
Sluggers executive assistant forgot to send out the tweet.
Yeah, fucked it. Andrew from the Barossa, Slugger. I'm not sure about your boys, but I'm more than ready for some wholesale changes. Now, bear in mind, this came through last week. because on Facebook, which we never look at. It's only been seen tonight. But I'm not sure about you or boys, but I'm more than ready for some wholesale changes. But we'll settle for dumping Josh the crap sandwich Jenkins and bringing in the hail bale tossing wild hog wrestling thunder thighed leg arm beast coming straight out of Lucindale Fog. Yeah, I tend to agree. I want him in.
Even though it's written last week, it's as true today as it was then.
It rings true.
And I think we all thought it was going to happen too. I was shocked when he when they went to the appeal for the SANFL indiscretion.
You know, the people at the Tanunda Bakery, where I imagine Andrew was was you just got a chili cheese Kransky, and it would have been the talk.
Is that Apex Bakery?
Yeah, how good is that one?
Yeah,
I tell you what, the Barossa they do their small goods well, and when you get a small good wrapped in pastry. Let me tell you.
Didn't take long.
Absolutely right there. Okay. So look, after you, Tyro and Jammo did an excellent two-man pod last week.
Sorry about the audio issues, guys.
It was a high quality pod with some excellent, excellent vague references to historical events. Including Gary Ayres giving it to the supporters.
Yeah, and didn't the podcasters? Yeah. I mean, even before I think Tyro uploaded it.
Yeah, no, they were already on it.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Because Andy said when Ayres gave it to the supporters was versus the Cats in 2002. I think you guys were saying every other year, but 2002. It was the first game that I ever went to. Don't remember anything about it, unfortunately. Except that it was the game when he gave it to the supporters. King Dog said apparently that old bloke was giving it to him in the crowd. An old bloke was giving it to him, and he asked for two beers after the game. Gary Ayres, he was just like so fumed, so rage filled. He just wanted two beers. Like the Cunnos guy, just two beers. And apparently he mentioned it in a, he revealed the truth in a, in an open mic with what's his face. Gary.
I just want to explore Andy's first game of AFL that he doesn't actually remember.
So he went to Cardinia Park. Yeah. Well, Andy's from the southeast, so Cardinia Park.
Oh, because he's from Narracourt. It would have been closer.
Cardinia Park's not that far from Narracourt. Just, you know,
probably rode his treadley over there.
Yeah. You know, would have been a fair ride, but.
He's probably over there visiting family. You know what they're like down in the country.
Western Victoria and the south.
Connections all over the place.
And you, isn't your family from Western Victoria, Tyro?
Yeah, my family's from West. Well, my mum's side's from Western Victoria, Horsham.
You could be related to Andy.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah. I'm out from the Wimmera.
V-Man writes in saying, so the key to beating the Kangas was to move the ball at medium speed. So that's interesting. Posted with an excellent GIF of a man looking puzzled.
And
it, look, it really does when you see how shit the Kangaroos are. This is one of those things. It's like when we lost to Essendon in round one. Was it last year?
Last year.
And you just sort of go, why? And then their season just turns into complete shit, and you just go, how did we do that?
Yeah,
we always do it.
Always. But then Port beats West Coast.
The difference between the Crows and Port is that the Crows tend to beat the shitty sides, usually, with the notable exception of the Kangaroos last week, but generally will beat the shitty sides. But whenever there's an important game that you really, really want them to win, they let you down.
Yeah.
And that's the lot of being a Crows supporter. What Port tend to do is lose to all the shit sides, and then when you completely think they're going to get absolutely pumped by 20 goals, they then go and beat the premiership, the reigning premiers and premiership favourites at their home ground fortress.
Yeah.
And absolutely pump them. And you just sort of go, why, how?
Lots of pumping.
Yeah, don't know.
And while we're sort of talking about last week's results, our first round of number one draft pick is at risk now.
Yeah.
Because Carlton won a game.
They did win.
That was unbelievable.
They did.
Turn up for the books.
Turn up. Indeed it was. That's pretty much about
they're
it.
Still on the bottom. No, they're not. They're third to bottom, what, that's all the letters?
After
the podcast that JMO and I gave, and we shouted out to Kim Ryder. Who else shout out to, JMO?
Oh, it's been Easter, so to be fair,
win lunch, few others. We put it out there, and we got nothing. Well, that says a lot.
When was the last time we got something from Kim Ryder?
Well, Kim Ryder's now. Kim,
since
he's now,
been
now,
on the board,
so he can't interact with us. we actually got a message from the AFL this week. Hi, I hope you're well. I'm Alistair from AFL Media. We're producing a content series in collaboration with Virgin Australia in which we're looking to showcase amazing footy families. This includes families that aren't necessarily traditional. Simply put, we're looking to showcase groups of people who come together for the love of the game.
Yeah.
This could be a group of mates who travel together from afar every week, neighbours who come together and watch the game at a backyard barbecue, or generations of fans who watch the game as a group. Ahead of launching the
people
series,
that do a podcast from Adelaide
in
Perth,
we're looking to film with some footy families over the coming weeks. I was wondering if you know anyone who may be interested. Just let me know and I can send over further details or jump on a call. Kind regards, Alistair from AFL Media. He just really wants to know about Chicken Salt, Bombing Fatties, Heartland Rock,
that's all.
Chinese corporate raiders.
This sounds like when, didn't Channel 10 reach out to us to go on Gogglebox or something?
They wanted the crow's nest on Gogglebox. Now the AFL's wanting us to be a football family. This is extraordinary.
Is that because they think we're...
Oh, God. We're not going to sell out this time.
Definitely not going to sell out.
Unless you...
It's hard to sell out when we do it for free anyway, though, isn't it?
That's right. So there you go. We got letters from the actual AFL.
That's amazing.
Gil got Alistair to hit us up. So there you go.
Can we just get them to do a special on Vardy Magic?
Yeah.
I think everyone
can we do a colour piece? A colour piece on Vardy Magic. I'd like to know a bit of a backstory.
We could agree to it, and then we'll just get all the nests to rock up.
Magic. This is a
good one. No, all the listeners, we'll put it out on the tweet, where and when, and it's like, yep, here we go.
Jared's mum.
This is the
Andy.
This is the footy family. Yeah.
Yeah, Bozza. Fuck you.
Yeah, Munget. Mudget. We haven't heard,
I haven't heard about him for a while.
No,
Mudget's gone off.
All right, Megan V.
Megan V.
Andrew from Barossa.
From the Barossa.
And what about the bloke that runs the powerhouse in Brisbane?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I haven't heard from him either.
Haven't heard him for a while.
Was it Matt in Queensland? Was that
Matt in Queensland.
Yeah.
No, that's a different guy, I think. That's a guy with the banana picture.
Yeah, the banana guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
No.
Now
excellent.
We're just listing off podcasts.
The 12 listeners. 12 listeners. Yeah. So look, obviously Slugger was too busy just stuffing his face with chocolate to remember that I need to put out a tweet. So next week or any time between now and
Fresh
week,
Island Food,
hit us up, Crow's Nest Pod.
Yes.
On Twitter, Facebook.
Yep.
And yes, let us know. Just tell us anything and we'll read it out.
Clearly the AFL got through.
Alright.
Tyro.
Beta. Jeez, 47 minutes and you're calling on me already. Jeez. Yeah. It must be in trouble. I've done it. Some Botbusters.
Botbusters.
And I thought last week JMO got them a bit too easily, so I've ratcheted them up a bit.
Okay.
God, I'm just not ready to go this early. But anyway, I'll push through. test your buzzers.
Slugger.
Jamo.
Dave,
okay.
A bit slow there, Dave.
No, Dave. I'm just trying to... I only got time to do four, so look, you've got to be on your best tension tonight.
Right.
I'm just trying to... I might do the easier ones first and then maybe some of the harder ones later. Okay, first one. Magic left the Lakers, and now he's got a limp.
Magic left the Lakers,
and now he's got
Graham
a limp.
Slugger. Graham Johncock.
Who said that?
Slugger.
Nah.
Oh.
What? Hold on. Don't answer. Slugger, explain your answer, please.
Yeah. Why did you get to
Magic left the Lakers, and now he's got a what?
A limp.
Graham Johncock.
Why Graham Johncock?
The thing is, sometimes you've just got to go in early with an answer. Okay. That's what you sometimes need to do in these situations.
That's negative one for wasting everyone's time. Okay?
Jammo.
Yeah.
It's got to be a Michael because it's Magic.
No, but his name was Irvin Johnson.
Johnson. Oh, Jammo. Kane Johnson.
And why is that?
Well, because Magic Johnson and he's got a limp, so he walks with a cane.
Yep. That's a guy.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
God, you're good. Okay. saves my segment. That's why, Slugger, that's why when we did a two-man pod, I didn't run with this. Okay. Next one. Jammo 1, Slugger negative 1, Dave 0. Dave got a message. That West Indian... Dave? He pulled the earphone out. That West Indian bowler moved out to Long Island. Dave got in early.
Curtly Hampton.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, Dave. Yeah. Nah, nice. That was excellent.
Yeah, he was pretty hot with that one. Okay, here we go. So that's 1 to JMO, 1 to Dave, negative 1 to Slugger for the Graham Conjock. Okay.
This.
I'll bring you back to 0 so you're a chance now. 2 left. Question 3. And that was good, Dave. You didn't even need the initials.
Thanks.
Question 3. I got a tractor for Secret Santa. our friends from the southeast will be yelling it out.
Slugger.
Yep.
Chris Massey,
well done.
How does that work?
Chris Kingle and a Massey Ferguson is a tractor.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Slugger, that's back in the game.
That's, okay, that's very good, Slugger. You've really pulled one out there. Okay, so look, I don't think we've ever been in a situation like this where all three of you are going into the last question with the possibility to win and have got one right. So this one will really cut the men from the boys.
Oh.
Okay. That's not I can say that.
Yeah, I think so.
That's not
sexist.
That's still there. Says the women's football coach. Question 4. Bickley and Malthouse are free to coach. And this is a toughie.
Oh, Gemma.
Yep.
Mark and Mick
Ann. Yeah, well done. I didn't expect it.
Well done.
They can coach, so Mick can.
Oh, Mark.
Mick. Mark and Mick.
I know how he thinks.
Yeah.
All
right.
That's very good, Jamie. I was expecting we were going to be, talking for a while.
Yeah, for hours.
Where,
good. Well done.
And Sam, well done to you for not. Yep. Making sort of a semi-racist one that we had to cut before we made the final.
I had no idea why are they talking about the racism, and it was just Irish, but there was one that was putrid racism.
I think I made a bigger deal out of it than what it deserved.
Yeah, I was trying to play off a Spanish word, and then I kind of realised that I'd
usually the only time we edit is when we do something that's libelous. Like saying, for example, that Buddy Franklin had a shopping bag full of when he crashed his cars in Sydney. Okay. Yeah. So you notice how I'm already pre-edited
pre-edited.
Alex Rance allegedly...
allegedly organised a gangbang at his house. But he didn't. Yeah. It was his gay stalker who organised the gangbang at his house. So that's... we never had to edit that one because it was just the truth. After he texted for the 47th time that day, the 48th text message involved the organising of a gangbang at his house. Fact.
With all this time on his hands now, with recovery, I'm worried.
Oh, just imagine.
I'm worried how many texts is going to be sent.
He's going to have RSI. When he was texting fingers.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even thought about that. Poor Alex Rance with a year off and just day after day. Like, imagine if that text weren't free like they used to be. Like 20 cents a ping.
Oh, he'd be... Yeah, he'd be on an unlimited plan, surely. He loves text messages.
Just upgrade to the gay stalker plan. Unlimited texts. Yeah. He'll be... Yeah, well, he might be back in the church. that's not live.
What? So, moving on from the
rant. 54 minutes.
What's going well. We talk about the coaches a little bit, J. gentlemen, and you've done a little bit of research.
I wouldn't say it's research.
When you say research, it is you've gone and you've printed off a page.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing here is, and there's been a lot of criticism about the coaches this year, a little bit around Don, but mostly around that layer of assistance. In particular, mm-hmm. Ben Hart being the forward coach has been a topic of hot contention.
Yep.
And Scott Camporelli's continued presence as the midfield coach has riled a few people. But you've pulled out a couple of little nuggets here, Jamo.
Did someone send you an org chart?
Yeah, no, yeah. We still haven't got a fucking org chart.
Jamo's done as best he can to put together an org
chart. No, well, look, actually, and I...
See if you've got a file on the Crows at work.
Yeah, well, I'll go through the network. I didn't expect this to be a segment, and probably Dave can provide more insight than what we can. But you've obviously got the Don and Camporelli, who's been at the Crows since 2011, I think.
It's extraordinary.
His title is Senior Assistant Coach Game Strategy.
Game Strategy.
So I don't know, like, does game strategy come down to, like, the North Melbourne game?
Yeah. Or changing from plan A to plan B.
I don't know. But then you've got, of the assistant coaches, so you've got four assistants. You've got Ben Hart, forwards. Fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
Marty Matner, defence. Yeah, I take that. Like premiership winning.
Chasing down people and tackling them.
That's right. Michael Godden.
Yeah, he was promoted due to some hot form in the SANFL, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 15-year mark and just, yeah, automatic promotion to AFL. And then Matty Clark, who's an assistant ruck. So, coach ruck, which... I suppose there's not that many to choose from. You wouldn't call in like a...
Romano Negri.
A Will Minson. I'm not sure. But you've got some pretty green, like Matner and Godden.
Mm.
Dave, like, are they a bit green for the Crows?
Are we lacking? Are we lacking? Godden's
been around for a while.
Yeah. Godden coached the SANFL State team.
Yeah, but so Godden's been around, like Godden and... Matner have both coached SANFL for a long time. Matner for a little bit of time.
Here's the question for you, Dave. The Crows are a very rich club. It's come out in the media today that the Crows and the Power get $2.40 as a rebate for every single spectator who enters Adelaide Oval on game day. They get a lot of money.
What does that
mean? Hold on.
How does that work?
Hold on. Does that include members or just tickets purchased?
The SMA has a contract with both football clubs. Where they pay each football club $2.40 per attendee of their AFL games. So the Crows
a cut for like food and beverage.
Yeah, it's their cut for food and beverage, exactly.
Yeah.
So in effect, the Crows get 120 odd grand every time they get a home game. The SMA writes can't be sneezed at 120 grand. So you know they've got a fair bit of coin. They're sloshing around in their big bucket of cash. And the question to you, Dave, is: do you think that the Crows should be going out and trying to land a senior assistant who has actually got some chops, who's actually who's perhaps a previous senior coach in the AFL who just wants to take a step back and be an assistant coach, earn some good coin, and take the Crows game plan to the next level? What do you think about that, Dave?
I think that we've got the scene like Don Pike's obviously a pretty senior bloke. I think they generally bring in or traditionally bring in the senior assistants when you've got a younger coach. So I don't know whether Don Pike would be too happy John Worsfold or someone sitting above him. That might be true, but
not sitting above, sitting below, but being there with
astride.
some pedigree, some runs on the board, and an ability to change a game plan in the middle.
We certainly...
So not Neil Craig.
Yeah. We certainly need to be a bit more dynamic, and I don't know how you do that. It's hard to tell with assistants, right? They obviously cop a fair whack when things aren't going well. But clubs that have got star-studded coaching panels don't necessarily do that well either. I think having someone that's from outside the footy club that's coached at a reasonably high level would be an advantage, having when Warsfold was around, obviously he was coaching, but someone like that that's completely new would help. But I don't like. Is it systematic of the club? Like we've always had blokes that are pretty stale. I'm not sure how you change that. It's you know, if we're going to keep hiring from within, we're going to struggle to change that. I think.
So Jammo's come up with three names.
I've just come up with three off the bat, Dave, and I'd like to get your thoughts on who the Crows should really just you know. Blank check.
Yeah. So you need to answer this straight off the bat. No sitting on the fence.
For senior coach to replace Don Pike or
No. To replace Kane Pirelli. Oh.
Senior okay, cool.
So Gemma's even... gonna throw you a series of names and you need to answer really quickly. If you've listened to the Grey Cricketer podcast, this is throwdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
One word answer, Dave.
There's three. Yep. Neil Curley, Graham Corns, Jack Oatie. Go.
Corns.
Graham
Corns.
Well, I think Neil's unfortunately had a stroke, so he's probably not in the best. Is Jack Oatie still with us?
Probably not.
Is Victor Richardson around?
You put together a good list there, Gemma.
So one sort of probably on a disability pension, the other no longer with us, and then you've got Studley.
Get KG!
KG, I love KG off it. KG, it'd be KG and Cornsy, because they're a duo.
Oh, like, KG.
Just, look, save some money and just get Blakey instead.
Yeah, yeah.
But we keep hearing rumours about Peter Sumich.
I don't mind a bit of that.
Yeah.
Peter Sumich.
Yeah, he'd like a bit of that action. But, you know, like Mark Williams is never going to get a job because, you know, people like Mark Williams...
Choco would be great.
Yeah, but I think the problem that clubs are having with Choco is that he probably is a bit like a dog with a bone. You know how old people are. Here we go, so vilifying our older listeners. Well, she doesn't listen anymore.
Okay, cut that.
He's enjoying that.
I only added a quarter of that.
We've got to do something new, though, Jabo. I hear you. I'm not sure what the answer is. I don't think a senior assistant's the right answer, but maybe just a few more people that aren't from within the system previously.
Are you suggesting...
Yeah, when we brought Pods over that year, we had Darren Milburn.
And do you know what was so good about those hires, Dave? You know what was so good about them? They weren't mates with Rashid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's the point.
They weren't Rashid's drinking buddies who, you know... Burton, you know, he used to always be pretty fit when we played footy. So let's put him as general manager of football.
Okay,
He knows Matt Hass, the butcher. All right. Yeah, whatever. You stunk out the Brisbane Lions. Bring him over. Doesn't matter. You know how to make some galena oil in your bathtub?
I'm going to throw a semi-serious one, but I fully acknowledge that most people have chucked it away. What about James Hurd?
Hurdy. Well.
Hurd.
wouldn't want to touch him with a 10-foot
pole. No, you don't want to be the first one.
Don't want to be the first one.
Let someone else take the heat.
Yeah. It's a win-win for Hurdy. He's back in coaching and he's out of Melbourne.
He's out of Melbourne, out of the fishbowl. It'll be just like Jack.
He's doing coffee.
A win-win. Nothing could go wrong except for titties and swimming and white powder up the nose.
Yeah.
Look, it was Weezing Pulver.
What'd you call me? What about if we got the double of James Hurd and Bomber Thompson?
Oh, Bomber Thompson.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great?
Join us now.
No, yeah, I'll Bomber
Thompson. I'm not sure what's happening.
What's that?
All right.
Kerry O'Keefe has joined us in the office.
All right. Can we get that video up?
And shall we go to? Yeah. Well, I don't, listeners. I don't think we fixed this one. I don't think we solved it.
Right in.
So, right in.
Go on, McKenna's
suggestions.
What we need to do as a senior assistant, because it's unanimous. That's what we need. Senior assistant.
Yeah.
Who was Fremantle's old coach?
What?
Mark Harvey.
Oh, Mark Harvey. Could get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brett Ratton. Brett Ratton.
Yeah.
Looking to coach again. Sense. Could be a good option.
Mark Neild.
Dennis Pagan.
Mark Neild. Brendan McCarthy.
God, they're just...
Cartney.
Yep.
McCartney's got a job.
Yeah, Melbourne. Yeah.
Mick Malthouse.
Malthouse.
He's floating around. Sheedy. He's sniffing around the traps, Malthouse.
Mm. Phil Gould.
Wouldn't work. Phil Gould.
He's out of work. Andrew Eddinghausen. Is he still doing that fishing show?
Yeah, tough lines.
E.T.
Yeah. No, very good. Skate with E.T. What a man. We're playing St Kilda. We're playing at Marvel Stadium. It's a Saturday night game, I believe.
Oh, is it Saturday night?
No, it's Twilight.
Twilight.
Oh,
Twilight.
Fucking Twilight games. Alright, it's Twilight 2:30 game.
Here. Yeah.
Twilight game against St Kilda. And St Kilda, if it weren't for Geelong's big win against Hawthorn, would have been top of the pops. But someone who's very astute at stats pointed out prior to the pod that we've kicked about the same score. As St Kilda this year, haven't we, Tara?
Yeah, I think 365 each for four, and I think we've actually got quite a good defence. I think we're sixth best defence at the moment. I think St Kilda might be second or third. So look, there's not too much between the two clubs in terms of for and against, probably about 20 points. So look, if we can play like we did, if we can win the contested ball, move the ball quickly on a fast ground, and while maintaining our strong defensive qualities that we've shown, despite being shit, would be a good showing.
Hmm.
Yeah. They've won four, lost one, I think.
Who've they beaten, JMO?
Okay, they beat the Suns by 1 point. Doesn't really count.
Yeah.
They beat Essendon round two.
We beat the Suns by 73.
That's right. Beat exactly right. So we're 72 points up already. Yeah. They beat Essendon by 11 points. Again, Essendon pretty crap. Yeah. They lost to the Dockers in Fremantle. They beat Hawthorn, which I guess is probably the only one that really counts.
Yeah.
And they smashed Melbourne last week.
That was a G. That was a good win.
It's a bit like the Gold Coast, where they've got good win-loss, but have they actually proved it against the right people? Mm. I'd like to think that if we played around what we played last weekend, we'd smash them by another 10 goals.
We'll pump
them. God, Freo are a funny one, aren't they? They bloody get done by West Coast, beat bloody St Kilda, beat GWS in Canberra. Mm, yeah. Can't get a read on them.
And then we've got them next, third, don't we?
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
So, look, 10 goals for me.
Ooh. 10-goal win. Where'd that come from? I will pump them. We beat them by 10 goals last year. We beat them 104 to 55, or 8 goals. But, yeah, we'll pump them. We'll pump them. We'll absolutely pump them. Tex will be bombing fatties. Brody Smith, Rory Laird will be running loose off the halfback flank. Riley O'Brien will put in a ruck masterclass. finally, showing everyone what he can do. It's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. The big matchup that they're saying is going to be Jack Steele versus Rory Sloan.
Who the hell's Jack Steele?
Well, Steele's a clamper. Steele's a dirty tagger. Oh. The likes of which the Crows haven't had since Tyson Stengline.
Yeah, okay.
What's his name? Riley Knight was showing for a little while there.
Yeah.
He could be the hard-ass tagger, but he's sort of not really been played in that role this year. Steele is going to be clamping on Rory Sloan, according to AFL Media. But, look, it's all down to Tex.
Yeah,
Tex bags a haul. He kicks a bag, bombs a couple of fatties, and we'll just crush them.
Yeah,
crush them.
Yep.
Smash them like guitars.
Dave, Sam.
I will thump them. I think unless we bring Jenkins in, then we will lose by 5 goals.
Wow! Right. Wow. Okay.
I think we'll do it comfortably, but we'll probably let them back in and we'll probably end up 20-something.
Okay.
Us.
Yep.
I don't know why I'm doing that. We've been so shit this year. No, we should be... That's, anyway.
That's the thing.
Sorry.
It's a bit of a trend after a big win.
Yeah. Slugger?
I think... Nah, but we win by 10 goals.
He's just
lining up. I'm just lining up a B-side.
From Slugger's got more important things than this tip on his mind.
We can go out with money talks, fire your guns, mistress for Christmas, or are you ready? Or got you by the balls.
Are you ready? That Are You Ready is getting a run on TV, you know? Is Who's it? Playing that at the moment? Are you ready for a good time?
Yeah. All right.
Who's playing? What ad's playing that? Car ad?
Car
ad.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Pot bellies.
What we're going
Pot
out with. Are you See ready? Ya. 10 goal win for the mighty Crows this week. Season back on track. Tex bombing fatties. Crunching packs. Riley O'Brien. Brody Smith, meters gained, D-Mac, elite leg.
Rory Atkins, elite leg.
Ratkins, getting another Eminem haircut.
Yeah.